On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, bad news about Asia, good news about LSD, and 20 trends we hope are over.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
We have had some website problems.
Our website disappeared.
Yeah, it did for about a week, and I had to call like the iPage people and our IT web person, like both.
Yes.
Unbelievable how these websites can just sit there for 2 or 3 years, nothing, and then just.
Were you hacked?
I don't know. It's just odd to me. Technology sometimes. You'd think some of these things would already be taken care of.
You would. But I wonder, all right, I've thought about this a little bit. I wonder how many websites, like somebody created, threw it up there, and it sat there for 10 years, and like nothing was done to it. It's just like there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just there.
Like a fossil. Like a weird technology fossil.
Yeah,
I bet there's millions of them out there.
I bet there are. And eventually, I bet they clean some of that up a little bit. And I don't know. I mean, maybe like we hadn't changed anything dramatically on ours for a while. I have a random cat.
Oh, hi, Chairman Meow. Jump up there, fatso. Nice.
She says, you won't take notes on this show.
Sure we will. We'll take notes on Kitty Butt. Well, come on, Kitty. You can get back up here.
Well, she came. She trampled.
Shook her butt and went back
down.
She
ran, yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't know. I mean, technology's great. Overall, it's fantastic. It's moving us leaps and bounds into the future. But I'm just saying, sometimes I kind of wish they'd clean up the shit that they haven't figured out yet. Before we take quantum leaps into living on Mars. That's all I'm saying.
You're talking about a species that landed on the moon before we figured out to put wheels on luggage.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we just don't do things.
That's all I'm saying about this technology. It's a little aggravating. Can't we just hold off a little bit, like I said, on going to Mars or whatever the hell we're doing to...
Until Hank's website works perfectly all the time.
Yeah. Like, if you don't fuck with it, it should never not work. That's what kills me. That's what kills me about technology is you can leave something alone, not change a damn thing, and it still randomly might stop working. That's weird to me. Is that not weird to you?
I guess I'm kind of used to it. It's frustrating to me. I mean, I was losing my mind today because my Fujicate app, which has worked perfectly in the past, suddenly has umpteen million bugs and kinks in it. I can't add food to it. It takes forever to work. And I just want to take the phone and go, bam, 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 bam. That doesn't help it get in any faster or work any faster. So you can't beat your phone. But when the app that I have relied on doesn't work, I'm furious. So I understand. I'm sitting here kind of smirking a little bit. But no, I totally understand. And I get just as frustrated, maybe more so.
Living
in this crazy, it's almost like we're in the caveman era of technology in some ways. Like, it's going to get so much better, but right now we're still, you know, a bunch of grogs dragging our knuckles trying to figure out how to use this stuff.
I guess. I'll give you one more example that I thought of on this topic. When your router tears up, what's the first damn thing they tell you to do?
To unplug it and plug it back in.
Really? Yeah. That's where we're at. That's unplugging something is a viable option to fixing something is to unplug it and plug it back in. And it often works.
Do you know what they call beating on something? It's percussive maintenance.
Percussive maintenance.
That is the technical term for
it. Wow. Hmm.
I'm pretty good at percussive maintenance until I break it.
Yeah. We had the Fonz. He used to do that to a jukebox.
Yeah.
Apparently worked good for him. We're going to a concert this summer. I got tickets.
Woohoo! Where are we going? What are we seeing?
You know. Who are we seeing?
We're going to see Asia and who else?
Journey.
Okay.
How can you forget the Journey part?
I'm more excited about Asia than I am Journey.
That should be an awesome lineup.
It should be. I'm pumped about that. That'll be fun.
Yeah, me too. And I got some Asia news for you. Here's their biggest song, of course. This is a great song.
Oh, yeah.
That little guitar riff is almost like as recognizable as like one of the AC/DC riffs, like Back in Black or something. I mean, it's very distinguished. Don't you think?
I don't think it's as complicated, but I think it's as recognized or as recognizable.
Yeah. I'll go
with
that.
I've never seen this video, so I'm completely distracted behind you right now.
Never seen this?
No.
That's a good goofy 1980 video.
I didn't have MTV.
Well, I am too, but I watched it more recently on, they make this thing called YouTube now.
I'm doing thyroid research, so.
You have been in that. Well, anyway, here's some news from Asia.
Tell me about it.
That guy's name, that's their lead singer. His name is Wetton, Wetton. What's his first name? John Wetton.
Okay.
Guess what?
What?
He died.
Crap.
He fucking died today. 67 years old, cancer.
Oh, that's pitiful.
I was really looking forward to seeing this.
That's pitiful. That's terrible.
So just our luck,
his luck. He's dead.
We gave him the final kiss of death by getting tickets to his concert.
I don't think it was necessarily us, dear.
I think it was.
Okay.
So anyway, he literally died today. 67. Aww. Yep. Front man for Asia. You know why they were so good? I figured out, or at least one reason.
They were arena rock. Well, like everything was meant to be played to a sea of people.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it was, he joined members of the band Yes, the Buggles, and Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Now, I've never heard of the Buggles.
Me either, but I love the name.
But Yes, that group definitely had some progressive early 80s. Great stuff.
Yeah, I remember some.
And the same with
hearing of them.
Yeah, and the same with Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. So
I don't know them. So
they had some late 70s, some progressive rock kind of stuff. But anyway, so he joined basically the leftover of those bands. So that's why. So they were already pretty good when Asia formed.
So they already had experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and there are other
sucks. Poor dude.
I know. And the other song,
that's young.
The other song from that album was "Only Time Will Tell." And it was 1982. It says it was their self-titled debut album topped the charts around the world, and was the biggest selling LP in the United States throughout 1982. And that was ahead of albums that at that time were released by Paul McCartney and AC/DC.
Dang.
So they had a damn good run in 1982.
They did.
So there's our feller.
I was still a kid. I was 10. So,
you know, this is one of those weird, I can remember for some reason as one of those damn summers.
I think it was in a movie or something.
I don't know. This says he had a career in the 70s and obviously in the 80s. But I can remember for some reason buying this tape bootlegged at the flea market I worked at. Because that's what you get at flea markets is bootleg
tapes.
Bootleg, counterfeit, trading under the table type crap. So I took some of my money I made. I took some of the money that I made at my little flea market stand selling popcorn and cotton candy and all that crap. And spent a couple of bucks on my bootleg Asia tape.
It was the heat of the moment.
It was. And I was going to pay them back by going to see them in concert after all these years.
I wonder if they'll have somebody else is the lead singer or what they'll do. This will be.
It says in the article that it's basically they don't know yet. But hell, he's the lead singer and one of the, one of the core people in the group. I can't imagine they're doing a show without him.
Well,
unless you want to get on stage, maybe there's an Asia tribute band out there somewhere that the lead singer is going to get his big chance.
Maybe it might be because this is already scheduled and I'd still pay to see it. So,
well, and our tickets that we have, Journey, the words on all the advertising, Journey's letters are like literally 10 times bigger than the word Asia.
Yeah.
And, I get it. Journey is a monster group, but Asia's not that bad.
No, they're a great group. I really hope somebody steps up and, well, it's not the lead singer of Journey anymore. It's somebody else has replaced him. So,
right.
So maybe it'll be just two replacement guys headlining.
Well, the replacement dude from Journey, we've seen that documentary on him.
Yeah, he's amazing. I can't wait to. He sounds probably better than the lead singer could sound now because he's younger.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at. I think it's going to be better than Steve Perry Journey.
But yeah, because at a certain point, and we all saw this New Year's Eve, at a certain point, as you age, your vocal cords simply can't hit those notes anymore.
No. What do you mean New Year's Eve?
Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't want to have that debacle. Yeah, that's funny. Well, I'm fine with the Journey being the new singer who sounds, like you said,
that.
Exactly like that. So the Asia dude, maybe they could come up with a good.
Maybe they could. Maybe they could find somebody that can. And yeah, it's a distinct voice, but it's not that crazy distinct. It's not like they're trying to replace the lead singer of AC/DC. Come on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. I've got a new fad that's going around, apparently.
Uh-oh. Well, you've got a new fad, and I've got some I want to see disappear. Well,
perfect. Apparently, around Silicon Valley, they are microdosing LSD. LSD's making a comeback.
What are they doing? That sounds kind of cool.
Microdosing. We're talking, and this whole article is a little bit about, they've also figured out, at least partly, why LSD is so potent compared to other psychedelics.
Okay.
It's the Godzilla of psychedelics, apparently. Like, of all psychedelics,
this is it.
This is absolutely. They're talking like 10 micrograms is how much they're microdosing this. 10 micrograms.
UGs, yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
I mean, 10 micrograms is barely nothing.
Minuscule. It's minuscule.
Well, it says in this article it takes about 100 micrograms of LSD to basically send you on a trip where you don't know you are a person for hours.
Wow. Okay, so that is like a...
It says it's the weight of 2.5 eyelashes.
Okay, yeah.
That's a common dose of diethylamine. Trithamine. I tried to pronounce this earlier and just.
All right, dimethyltryptamine.
Oh, well.
Where is it? I can't see it to read it. Point
right
it
there.
Out on the screen, and I'll try to read it for you.
Right there. That's DMT, though.
Yeah, that's dimethyltryptamine.
Dimethyltryptamine. All right, it's trying to compare them. It's
okay.
Saying it takes 100 micrograms of LSD to have the same effect that it takes 20 to 40,000 micrograms of DMT.
Okay.
Yeah. And the DMT, apparently, they say lasts sometimes maybe only 15 minutes. And this 100 micrograms of LSD can last for hours.
Well,
they say all day.
LSD is synthetic.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah. Like something lysergic, something. I don't see the full name up there, but
it's here somewhere. I'll read it. I'll find it in a minute.
LSD, they make it in the laboratory. That is distilled crazy. Like the DMT that they're talking about with ayahuasca, that is where they mix the leaves with the bark and the mud and they brew it for hours.
Right.
That's not exactly a scientific process.
Shaman have been doing that for
thousands
and thousands of years.
I would totally trust them to do it, and, you know, I get it. But, like, is Walter White making LSD, dude? It's an exact science.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, some of the things it says famously and controversially, you know, people who have taken LSD have part of the creation of the iPhone, the polymerase chain reaction, that whole.
CR, yeah.
Lots of this stuff has been accredited with, you know, people who've taken this have accredited at least partly, like, no, I wouldn't have never imagined that.
But I took a trip and my creativity was triggered.
Yep.
I think it would be awesome to try it someday. One day.
So that's
one day.
So that's what these people are micro dosing it, like 10 grams of it. And these people in Silicon Valley are apparently saying, yeah, it's no doubt helping our creativity and all kinds of stuff. So this new study here, here's what's happening.
Holy cow. We are driving our own evolution.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It is kind of cool. Well, what they've done in this study, and this guy's been trying to do this since 1990, is he was able to freeze. He was able to freeze a LSD molecule fitting into the receptor of a neuron. And then, looking at it under a electron microscope and actually seeing the molecule fit in the receptor. That's the first time anybody's ever seen any.
Exactly where this goes, where this crazy drug works and activates the.
And how it fits in there.
Yeah.
And not just LSD, but it's according to this study, which was in, I'll give them credit, which was in, Scientific American. I get a lot of stuff out of Scientific American.
You do. I'm
Angus Chin, January 27th of this year. Anyway, they basically able to take a picture of the molecule sitting in the receptor of a neuron, and not to get into too much of the neurophysiology of it, but basically that's how things work in our brain and in our body.
It's lock and key.
Is lock and key. Ships pulling in and out of a port. You know, when a certain molecule sits in a certain receptor, it's like a cup and a ball, and the ball fits in the cup. When the ball sits in the cup, then you feel whatever you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is, or it makes you want to go pee, or whatever the mechanism is that's happening, that's how it works. Well, this LSD, when it fits in this receptor, and they took a picture, this little fucking bastard molecule, it kind of pulls the ends of the receptor, like the cup.
Around
it. It kind of pulls it around it like a blanket and stays in there. Isn't that awesome? So that's why it takes just the smallest amount and lasts forever.
Wow.
Eventually, it kind of works its way out, but... Yeah, they are totally blown away that
how this works.
That, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? That may lead to longer acting drugs, you know,
right?
Like not recreational drugs, not creative drugs, but like medicinal,
right?
Life saving drugs. And all right, I got to ask you this.
One longer
growing
lasting all kinds
up,
of stuff.
Did your parents ever warn you about LSD? Like, you know the crazy guy up the road? He did acid one time at a party, and he's never been the same. Did they tell you stories like
that?
You
know, my parents never, but that urban legend has always been around of
like
somebody who did that.
Like, set me down and tried to scare me to death with the urban legend of that.
The only legitimate story that I've ever read or come across about LSD like that is a guy named Sid Barrett, and he was the original lead singer for Pink Floyd. Like, Pink Floyd had an album or two with him as their lead singer. And according to his bandmates, he took a massive amount of LSD and never came back. Basically, he was in mental institution. Like, he was institutionalized, the way I understand it.
Wow.
So apparently it's possible.
It's possible, but you have to, like, chew it down for 10 minutes.
I guess.
Something.
I don't know. I don't know what he did, but that's the only, like, legitimate story that I've ever read about that.
Yeah.
But I know a shit ton of people or stories of it being the most creative shit in the world.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
You know, that whole 60s generation, that's what the hell they were taking. The Beatles, for God's sakes. All of them. That's exactly what they were taking. The Doors, the Beatles. Basically, there's a whole station on Pandora called Psychedelic Rock. What the hell do you it's not marijuana, people.
Yeah, it's LSD.
I mean, I'm sure it's marijuana, too.
Yeah, but it cracks me up because just anybody who acted weird, like who, and I don't know, now, like years later, I was like, you know, they have PTSD. They came back from Vietnam like that. I don't think that was drugs, but they're like, he drank a Coke at a party and somebody laced it with acid.
Well, I'm ready to microdose this whenever you want.
All right.
Fine with that.
Same.
So
I try it. I'm old enough now. I try crazy stuff.
Sure. Me too. I'm just fine. I'm trying to skim over some of the highlights of this article, but I think I've told you pretty much the gist of it.
Stimulates the receptor for the entire time it's trapped underneath the protein.
Yeah, the lid.
Wow.
I just see it in bed, like laying in a bed, and it is just wrapping that little blanket around itself.
I see it as like a little red angry bird, like just vibrating, shaking everything up.
Yeah. It says eventually the lid flies open and it gets out. But yeah, it says becomes and apparently this is another weird thing. Not only being in there, like normally just being in there is either, like you said, lock and key. It does something being in there. But this molecule, the longer it's in there, also has an effect. Just the length of time it's in there.
Wow.
This says that in a paper, it becomes 100 to 1,000 times more potent after a few hours. So the longer it's in there, a 1,000 times more potent after a few hours. That is crazy. And it says that's why standard recreational doses have this profound effect and why micro doses, and there it is, about 10 micrograms might also have an effect. Because they were saying in this article, too, that these people that have been talking about doing these micro doses of 10 micrograms,
uh-huh,
that all these scientists have basically been dismissing it as saying it's placebo effect. 10 micrograms of anything is not going to do anything. And now after this paper, they're like, well, I think there's people are absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially since the longer it's in there.
And it's very controlled because.
Right. Right.
There's only so many receptor sites that you could bind up with 10 micrograms of LSD. So it seems to me like you would kind of be in control of that trip. You know what I'm saying? It could open up your mind's eye, but you're not just
right
a victim of falling down the rabbit hole.
Says it's gained some traction among the Silicon Valley technology workers, like I was saying, creativity boosting smart drug.
Yep.
And become more popular since physiologist James Friedman wrote a book on it. It's called The Psychedelic Explorer's Guide. Came out in 2011. Let's get that book.
Yeah.
The Psychedelic Explorer's Guide. That sounds like an interesting book, actually. And there's now starting to be a few studies. Might have some broad clinical use for anxiety, addiction, cluster headaches, you know, even though it's classified as a Schedule 1 drug, which supposedly means it has zero usefulness in any way.
That means that the government,
which is stupid,
doesn't have revenue from it, so they're going to ban it and say it's bad.
Yeah. So, and there's been other books. Somebody's published an article called A Really Good Day, How Microdosing Made a Mega Difference in My Mood, My Marriage, and My Life.
Woohoo!
This person said they were suicidal, overcame depression with it.
That's fantastic.
It's silly, really, for anything to have a definition of that it has absolutely no medical effect.
It is.
Everything has some. Again, this Schedule One, their definitions are just so stupid. Everything, every molecule that affects something in your body, there has to be, if used correctly, some positive, you know, there must be something.
Maybe. Yeah, but you're willing to explore possibilities and look at things. You're talking about agencies and politicians who see everything as black and white.
Yeah.
This is bad. Go to jail.
Yeah, I got you. Even the stuff like the super poisonous stuff, like what's that stuff we've seen YouTube videos on? The most poisonous substances in the world, like niacin. Is that it?
No, that's a vitamin.
Is it
ricin?
Ricin. Yeah, there you go. Something like that. I'll guarantee you there's something about that molecule in the most small doses or in exactly the right way can be useful for something.
I don't know about that, but I know something. Snake venom has been studied extensively, and they're still studying it as painkillers. It's such a complicated mixture of stuff, but there are compounds in some snake venoms that can actually deaden nerve pain. So,
well, sure. And like you said, things like this, finding out that it kind of wraps itself, it kind of pulls the receptor over it a little bit and makes it longer lasting. Like how great would that,
awesome.
How great would that be for like a pain pill? For it to be a longer lasting pain pill.
Like you take one and it lasts, you know, all day long.
Right. So, yeah, LSD microdosing, it's gaining traction and they're figuring out why just a teeny, teeny, teeny little dose of it can apparently do something.
Do something for you.
Much less a mega dose. One and a half eyelashes. An eyelash of it.
That's a tiny amount. It's a tiny amount.
Well, that's a hell of a trip, apparently. So, I'm in. Let's do it. And the ayahuasca. That's crazy,
We're going to be drug tourists someday? Like,
we need to read that book. That's a good book. We've listened to Joe Rogan enough people talk about this stuff. The Psychedelic Explorer's Guide. We're going to check that out.
Ah, that would be fun. We'll have to do that on Audible. We've been experimenting with that. All right. From a trend that we think is pretty cool to 20 trends we hope will disappear in 2017.
We want people microdosing and going on self-discovering inner trips.
Yeah, but we want to wave bye to these.
This is from
Espresso, Laurel Carlson.
Okay.
All right. Number one, we don't want to see inspirational quotes on everything. Have you seen a lot of those? They're all over Pinterest. It's annoying.
They're on kind of every social media. Inspirational quotes.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do subscribe to some Twitter accounts that's what they do.
That are Yeah, but you're Jack Handy, so.
But, you know, I was thinking today, though, honestly, these quotes and these things, they're fantastic. But you got to get out there and actually do something.
Do something. Yeah, just do it, like the shoe company says.
Yeah. I got you. Okay. Yep. We can use less of that.
Less of that. All right. Rainbow food.
Rainbow food.
Rainbow food trends spread like wildfire with multicolored bagels, grilled cheese, sandwiches, and sushi popping up on Instagram. Look at this. That's nauseating. That's a bagel. That's not even like a donut. That's a bagel. That's gross.
I can't imagine those chemicals that you're putting in your body.
Yeah, I'm like, I would not eat that for anything.
Hell no.
All right, here, taking it to the next level, galaxy food.
What the hell?
Those are eggs dyed to look, or chocolate eggs or something, dyed to look like space. Make donuts and cakes resemble a photograph of outer space.
Some of these trends.
Could you imagine what your number two would look like after eating that much food coloring?
There'd have to be like a different number for it. It'd be like a number three or four.
Yes,
like it wouldn't even look like a number two.
It'd be like a number 12.
Yeah. No thanks. Some of these trends are going to go away before I've even seen them, so this will be interesting.
All right. This one, and I'm guilty of this one. Glitter makeup.
Glitter makeup.
I'm way too old for it, and I still have some.
Glitter's never going away.
It's never going to go away. It's
never
going
away, people.
It's stripper dust.
It is going to be here forever. It's in greeting cards, all that crap. At Christmas, we got
But makeup, once you put it on yourself, then it's, yeah, it's going everywhere.
Then you've taken it to another level.
Evidently, even men have put it in their beards in 2016, so we're hoping it's over.
God.
That's gross.
God, wow, how would you ever get it out? Like, remember, wasn't there we did a story on this years ago.
Your glitter bomb.
Yeah, somebody would send you a... If somebody you didn't like, you could send them an envelope containing glitter because that's terrible.
Well, I have a confession.
You put that in your beard, you're going to just have to cut that shit off. It's even close to get it all out.
That'd be bad. It'd be bad. I have a confession. If I'm at the moment aggravated with my mother when I'm shopping for a card for her, like if there's some kind of undercurrent of like we've been at each other a little bit, I will intentionally buy a card with glitter on it because I know it drives her crazy.
You glitter annoy people?
I do. Slight annoyance. It's glued on there. It's not my fault she got it all over everything.
You're a glitter bully.
I am. Confession. All right. Next one. Selfie sticks.
Those aren't going away.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think,
but these are things we. This is things the article says we wish would go away. So
we hope will disappear.
Yeah, I guess they're annoying. But
people love to take pictures of themselves.
God,
I just
do.
Don't understand.
We're in an age of just worshiping yourself. There's never been a better time to worship yourself.
And I mean, do you
to be
know,
all
know
into
people,
yourself?
I know people on like Facebook that. Like multiple selfies a day, and it's duck face selfies too. I'm just like, bitch, somebody needs to smack you is what I think when I see it.
It's well, like, now too, like, gosh, this technology just gets run away, and some's good, some bad, but like now they have all these filters on here too.
Like, oh, yeah. Like you don't even look like you.
Yeah. So there was a coworker I was going to take a picture of to put on our company page that she was doing something. And I took the picture and she's like, oh, let me see it. Oh, wait a minute. We got to put some filters on it. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, don't you know how to do that? And she's like, and before you know it, it was like photoshopped, you know, like model on a magazine cover type, skin flawless. All this, I'm like,
isn't that kind
what?
Of annoying?
Are we all just pretending? Like anybody that sees you is going to see you? I don't know. It's
odd. I don't care for it. I really don't.
It's an
odd
time.
I'm glad we met before all of that. Like, I would.
Can you imagine the work?
I hate to be trying to date right now with like online dating and pictures and.
You must meet somebody online now, on like we did on eHarmony or Match.com or whatever. They must have these pictures set up. When you meet them, you must be like, where did this Frankenstein come from? Well, who the hell are you?
Yeah.
Compared to all these pictures you've been looking at for a week or two, chatting back and forth.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of weird. It's got to be kind of weird.
You're about to start showing up for dates blindfolded. Both of them. Both of
like,
you.
Like just smush each other's face.
Yeah, really. So, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, selfie sticks aren't going away.
No. Uh-uh. Hoverboards.
Eh. They're annoying to look at. They're great for business if you're in the medical field. Some kind of orthopedic
scooters
type.
Have gained most of their publicity thanks to their risk of catching fire or even exploding.
Or causing old people to fall flat on their face.
Yeah.
That's whatever.
Marty McFly.
Yeah. You're not.
All right. And this one I absolutely loathe. And I get a vent here because I have friends who are love this, but nail art.
Nail art.
I hate nail art. I'm a cosmetologist and I hate nail art. I think it is the tackiest thing in the world. Like, I'm barely tolerant of a French manicure. I'm like, a well-done one can be lovely. A poorly done one just looks cheap and tacky. But nail art always looks bad to me.
It kind of does. It just, I agree. I'm trying not to be judgmental.
And I mean, all right, and if it's a cultural thing and you love it, more power to you. But
good for any of you who love it, but it's...
You're expressing yourself, whatever. But for me personally, I'm like, way too much effort. And you just flat out say, I don't cook and I don't do dishes when you wear nail art.
It kind of, and I'll say this in a weird way, but I don't know. It's just what comes to my mind. I can't help it. It reminds me of a flea market. It's like flea market stuff. It's really kind of... I don't know what the word for it is.
Cheap and tacky is
cheap
what
and tacky,
I think.
Yeah.
And it's
like
not.
Flea market merchandise.
It's not. Do you have any idea how expensive some of that is?
Well.
Like, it's per nail. Like, they, when you get that done, it's not like your manicure costs so much. It's each nail costs so much. It's art. So.
Well, I'm sure I'm not who they're trying to impress anyway, but. Yeah, it's having the opposite effect on me.
Well, and I don't think it is. It is not to impress men at all.
You don't think so?
Nope. It's a girl impressing girl type thing.
Well, they're not impressing you either.
No, they're really not. Not at all. It gripes me. I can't stand it.
I'm with you.
Chop
their fingers off.
Jogger pants. I didn't even know this was a trend. Jogger pants are the latest sweatpants trend in the recent tradition of overpriced designer sweats and leisure wear worn as everyday clothing. Teenagers and 20-something men are particularly fond of these sweatpants tapered at the ankle to show off their equally overpriced sneakers.
Okay.
We're all for comfortable clothing, but we have to draw the line somewhere. I
don't know if I've even seen that.
I'm not even sure if I have either. It looks like sweatpants have gone back to the way they were when we were in school. Like, now they have the cuff at the bottom again. It's like we've gone full circle. Like, remember for you, like now sweatpants, like yours don't have, they don't have elastic at the bottom.
Yeah,
now.
Who wants that?
Just, all right.
Now they want that?
Now they want that. Show off their shoes. They're back to that. Those horrible, god-awful cuffs at the bottom.
It's like you're wearing a scrunchie around the bottom of your pants leg.
Exactly.
Or you're jogging.
Exactly.
That just seems wrong.
That seems
it's just wrong.
It's
wrong.
Weird.
Wrong.
We weren't even aware of it. We're, so out of touch. All right. They no longer want to see binge watching.
Well, they can just bite me.
We all know the feeling. It's time for bed, but we can't resist watching just one more episode. With so many quality TV shows out there and an increasing number of streaming services to choose from, finding time for all of them is downright impossible. But too many of us are sacrificing sleep in favor of binge watching House of Cards or Orange is the New Black.
Well, then don't watch it. That doesn't affect anybody but anybody.
Well, I mean, it's something that I think a great many people are doing. That's why it's a fad or a trend right now.
Well, okay. So that's a good trend we hope will go away.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Keep wishing, because that's never going away either.
Yeah, because there's always like some rainy Sunday afternoon you're going to be able to watch the hell out of something. Or a new season of House of Cards comes out,
Like the great bad Santa dude said, wish in one hand and shit in the other and see which one gets filled first. Because that wish is not getting filled.
No, not in this house.
Not anywhere.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Well, that's true. I think binge watching. And it may be healthy to limit your TV time, but.
Oh, I'm sure. As we re-binge watch Sopranos, sort of. We watch 3 or 4 episodes a night.
We don't watch. We watch 2 or 3 at night.
What did I say? That's 2 or 3? Okay.
You said 3 or 4.
Oh, okay. No,
4 hours of TV.
No, it's not that much.
No, it's more
like 2 or 3. So,
yeah. If we sit down real early, we can get 3 in. All right. This one is kind of girl centered, not you.
Okay.
They don't want to see festival fashion.
What does that mean?
Festival fashion refers to outfits worn by music festival attendees. widely covered on style blogs and social media in recent years. Typical attire includes some combination of floral headbands,
I was gonna
feathers,
say, we gotta be talking about hippie
fringe
clothes,
tank tops, and denim cutoffs for a pseudo hippie or bohemian look.
Damn hippies.
Yes.
Damn smelly hippies.
The wide coverage of this now cliched attire at festivals like Coachella has all but eclipsed the discussion of the music itself. True.
That's funny.
True.
And I like hippies, for the record. I just love saying damn hippies.
I know.
Back
in
the day, because my dad used to say that growing
damn
up.
Hippies. Yeah, my dad did.
Damn hippies.
Mine too. It wasn't like my dad didn't say damn anything else, but damn hippies or dirty hippies.
Those damn hippies. So anyway, I'm all for hippies. Yep. Wear what you want to. I'm fine with that one.
Yes.
I don't care.
Yeah. But I can kind of understand though that it has become more of a, it's not a event that you go to hear music. It's an event that you go to dress like a damn hippie.
There's certainly a, it's kind of ironic because part of the point of being a hippie was being kind of yourself and
not
counterculture,
caring how you looked and
not caring how you look. And now that's a look. That's a look is caring, is not caring how you look. You can't win.
You can't win. Well, and I like that look, but I don't like it just at music festivals. I wear hippie stuff all the time. So.
You know, the only way to ever win something like that, and you'll never hear about it because the people that win are like in some little holler somewhere, just living by themselves, doing their own thing, that literally don't care. Anything, what you think about them, how they look, how they dress, what they eat, anything. That's the only people really rocking this individuality thing that we all are kind of striving for.
God, we're such a complex social beast.
Oh, we are. We're crazy. Our whole, it's a miracle that we do anything. Because we kind of want to be individuals, and everybody does. Anybody that says they don't, come on, look in your closet. There's a reason why every piece of clothing you wear was bought. Because you thought it made you look cool or different or whatever adjective you want to use.
You know, everybody.
We all do it.
Wants to look attractive and fit in.
But
it's a basic human need.
But they also want to be just different enough to stand out.
Yeah.
It's the oddest. We're the oddest culture. And I'm aware of it, which I don't know. I don't want to be a snob about it. But I do feel like at least I do understand how the game works. And I feel like that I do wear what I wear. I specifically wear it to blend in, to be a businessman. You know, I wear my khaki pants and my shirt with a collar, my polo shirt, because I know that's what I'm expected to wear. I have no disillusion that I'm being unique or an individual in any way.
No, it's a uniform.
So at least I know it.
It's a uniform, yeah.
I don't think a lot of people know it.
I don't think they do.
I think they think when they're going through the mall and they're picking out that perfect pair of pants, that, oh, this is the one. I'm going to be so unique. And people are going to notice me, but I still get to be kind of my own individual self, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know if they even go through that much.
Oh, like, they don't. It's all
subconscious. I think it's more like, these look fantastic on me. Everybody will look at me.
Yeah.
Or, and when I'm feeling fat, like, these are really black and nobody will notice me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other extreme.
It's right.
Like you either want to be noticed or not noticed.
Well,
sad.
Yep, but that's how the old game works. So, rock on your
Coachella fashion.
Your Coachella fashion, yeah.
All right. They no longer want to see internet challenges.
Yeah, you know what? I think I can get on board with banning this. I agree. This stupid dump water over in your head. Fuck that. Just do it. If you want to
eating the cinnamon.
The cinnamon challenge.
Yeah.
The whatever.
Drink a gallon of milk. That makes you puke.
Yeah. I'm done with all that crap, too.
Yeah. That's just gross and dumb.
Just do it. You don't have to have an excuse. Just say, look at this. I'm going to do something funny and do it. You don't have to be a damn challenge.
Yeah.
And it don't have to be for charity. That's a dumb part, too. Just give your damn money to charity. Stop dumping water on your head.
I don't think that made any money for charity. I think it was just.
Yeah, I don't understand either. I'm not sure
about that, but I kind of get the impression that was a hoax.
Maybe it raised awareness for something, and indirectly they got more money. Like, wasn't the water over the head thing, wasn't that for Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or something, I thought?
Or ALS. Something, but, like, we can't even.
See, it almost worked.
It almost worked.
We know it's a neurological, genetic
disorder
condition
of some sort, but we don't know which one it is. Yeah. So
you almost got us to recognize your cause.
But not quite, because we didn't dump a bucket of water over our heads.
Right.
All right. We also no longer want to see distressed jeans.
What's that mean? Oh, yeah, with cut holes in them. And
It's fine if your pants have a hole or two. Like, jeans eventually wear out in certain wear patterns. But I love how they say this. The inexplicable popularity of window jeans with large holes cut out of the knees, often bearing so much of the wearer's legs that they may have well just been shorts.
You know, something that you pointed out to me, at one time you were all into, like, fashion stuff and coordinating things. I don't remember when you got into this, but it was a year or so ago. But you read some article and were telling me about it, that throughout history, fashion, basically rich people, when you're rich, the fashion for rich people is in a weird way to copy what poor people wear, but you're wearing it as a rich person. And ever since you said that, I have felt so weird. I will not buy anything that's made to look used. I mean, that explains a lot, like what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rich people wearing things to emulate poor people. For example, these jeans you're talking about. You take a perfectly good pair of jeans, and they purposely put cuts in them or cut out holes
Large
or something.
Large holes, chunks of them missing, yeah.
Like you've been working in a factory scrubbing floors all day and wore the knees out of your jeans, even though you didn't.
Yeah.
But you're wearing clothes that are... And the same with all those, like, acid wash jeans and anything with these rips and cuts. And I won't do it anymore. Now that you've told me that article, I'm jaded on that forever.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I hate to say this. I mean, we do have some money. And it's a fact.
Yeah, well, we don't have to wear wore out clothes.
Right. We don't have to wear wore out clothes. So I feel weird now going shopping. I feel like I was tricked for years because I would buy not to the extreme like these cutouts.
Yeah.
But I definitely bought clothes sometimes that purposely looked a little worn. I will never do that again.
Okay. I don't mind it quite so bad because, well, one.
Now I feel like I'm making fun of poor people by wearing them.
Oh, I don't.
That's
I don't
what
think
I feel.
So. I don't think so.
Well, the whole society doesn't know that, but I know it now.
Okay.
Like, I feel like I'm making fun of poor people by doing that. So I'm not doing it. It's one of those things. Like, once I know, I can't unknow it.
Yeah, I understand. I understand where you're coming from with that. But... I wouldn't want to be so, and this is terrible, like we've made so much fun of this now tonight, but I wouldn't want to be so opposed to anything fashionable that I would just never, I wouldn't say never. Like, as somebody who has seen neon come and go, leggings come and go and come and go and come and go. I mean, I've seen so many fashions, you know, come into style and go out. You just can't say never. Like,
oh, that's fine.
I swore I'd never wear a pair of boots without toes in them, and I have a pair. Yeah.
Well, that's fine, Petra. If you want to make fun of those poor homeless people
I'm not making fun of them.
You just go right ahead.
That's not the point of it. It's an emulation, not a satire. So. All right, Hank. Man, I damaged you with that one.
You did, so I'm not doing it. I still have a few. Now, if I have like a pair of jeans or an old hat that becomes worn that I've used myself, well, then I'm sort of okay with that.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't, I won't buy something that's like threadbare and falling apart, but I will buy something that doesn't look crisp. Like I don't like really crisp clothing,
right,
even when that's what's in style. Mm. It just doesn't look as good on me.
I got you. Well, anyway, what was that one? That was some kind of clothes. Oh, that was the ripped up clothing.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care if it comes or goes or not now that I know it. But
yeah, you're just like, no. Yeah.
Yep. Not for me.
Well, that was specifically like super torn jeans. Kid stuff for adults, like adult coloring books. And
You know, if that's what you're into, fantastic. But,
yeah, I'm kind of like, but
are you all right with it?
I'm all right.
I've never cared for it.
I kind of like to color every now and then. I have my own coloring book.
I've never seen you color. Here's
yeah, you have, and you made fun of me when I was doing it.
Well, there you go. Well, that's why. Okay. I believe you, but that's why I don't believe you do it very often, or I would make fun of you more often.
Well, when I'm stressed, I either want to kill stuff on a video game, which is childlike, or color, which is also
it's harmless.
Childlike.
It's harmless, and it's fine if you or any other adult want to do that. But I will say this. The people who I know of who have said as an adult that they want to color, I've never actually seen them color. Like you said once or twice, but I never see anybody actually do that. I think this is something that most people, for some reason, think they want
to do. Yeah.
I think they think they want to do it, but when push comes to shove, they really don't. That's what I think. What do you think?
Maybe. I like doing it because it is relaxing and it kind of lets your, it doesn't require your full attention. So you can kind of.
How many
creative.
Times have you colored in the last year or two?
Three or four.
Okay. I thought you'd say one. So the last.
I surprised you.
Ooh, wow. You're up to twice a year instead of.
I said three or four.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, I'm okay with this one. I think adult coloring's just fine. If I want to sit and color all day, I might do. That might be what I'll do tomorrow.
No, it'll drive me crazy.
All right. No longer want to see TV show reboots.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean?
I think they're making fun of Full House right now. I guess.
I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, they are really rebooting a lot of stuff. Like, they need to, I don't know,
come up with
original
idea.
Yeah. All right. And this one I'm okay with, too, though, okay? My Little Pony hair, the bright colored hair, they don't like it. You don't like it, but I like it.
You know, it's all right. Whatever. That's a fad I could live with, I suppose. Why not?
You know, to me, it's just expressing yourself.
Sure.
I'm more okay with the bright colored hair than I am the nail art.
Yeah, me too, for some reason.
For some reason.
I have to say the same thing. I don't know why, but I'm totally contradicting myself probably, but I can't help it.
No. I mean, that this is a spurring conversation.
Yeah, it just is what it is.
I had to have explanation on this one. They no longer want to see normcore, normcore.
Is that core stuff in high school?
Nope.
In education?
No. It refers to the phenomenon of consciously wearing clothing considered too bland, frumpy, or generic to be fashionable. Of course, designers have capitalized on normcore's popularity, and now that has started. Now what has started as ironic anti-fashion has become a ubiquitous fashion trend.
See,
I didn't know this.
That's what I'm saying.
With khakis, baseball caps, and socks worn with sandals being embraced by the young and hip.
See, you can't fucking win.
Well, you took off the other day in a pair of socks and sandals, and I was just like, dull. I really was. I asked you, I'm like, are you really going to wear that? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, no. If bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, and then somebody will pick it up and like, oh, wow, people are wearing that, and it'll be the next fashion thing and blah, blah, blah.
That is so...
All it takes is five people wearing it in one town or whatever it takes at the right place.
I have noticed younger guys running around in socks and sandals. I guess now that's fashionable. I still don't like it. I don't care who does it.
So that last article was exactly, or that last item was exactly what we're talking about. Somebody wore, I'm just going to wear plain stuff. I don't care. And then now that's a fashion trend.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can't win, people. You just can't.
No, because somebody's going to look at it and go, oh, that blah, 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 blah. And then they're going to run with it.
Right. If you wear purple every day of your life, sooner or later, that's going to be a trend.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you're going to be, it's just, there's no winning.
Nope. Next one they want to see go away is celebrity Twitter feuds. I have a feeling that's not going to disappear this year.
No, and I don't even think I want to see that disappear. I think that's kind of funny.
You like Twitter feuds.
I kind of like Twitter, and yeah, when you get a good little Twitter feud going with a couple of celebrities, sure. That's entertaining.
Okay.
Again, you're reading trends that, according to this article, basically the people writing the article would like to go away.
Like to go away, yes.
For 2017.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Next one is fitness trackers.
You know, I don't know. I've myself thought about that. Like, really? This is getting a little much. But, you know, whatever. If it helps you.
It really motivated me for a while. And then I got aggravated with it.
I have a feeling what you just said is exactly what plays out for 99% of people who own one of these.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty fun for a little while, but just like any fitness device, and I'm in a medical field that deals with exercise, everybody who buys a treadmill for their home just swears they're going to use it. I'll use it every day. This is an investment. It's going to help my health. Within a month or two, it's just an expensive coat hanger. That's all the hell it is.
I'm a weirdo, though. One point when I lived in Ohio.
So I think that's what these Fitbits are.
I had a treadmill in my basement, set up in front of the television. I didn't even have a television on the main floor of the house. I had my TV down in the basement with the washer and dryer. And if I wanted to watch TV, that was my deal. If I wanted to watch TV, I had to be on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
So I would honestly probably like walk, jog on the treadmill an hour and a half every day, like through the winter.
Well, that's fantastic.
When I couldn't get out, like I legitimately did that. And I never bothered to get a couch down there because I just made myself use the treadmill if I was watching TV.
Well, that's fantastic. But again, I can tell you by being in the exercise business, and I don't know how long that lasted with your treadmill, but
as long as I lived there,
that's great.
Lived it in the basement.
Well, these Fitbit things are they're just part of this exercise thing that people know they should exercise. They know they should eat right. So they buy this little gimmicky thing that they think is going to somehow make them all of a sudden eat right, lose weight, and exercise. And for 99% of the people, they're not, after a month or two, they'll never use it again.
I went through two of them.
Well, I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying most people.
Well,
at least that's what I'm saying. I don't know. Hell, maybe everybody that buys one, it changes their life. And all of a sudden, they lose 50 pounds, and they're the most healthy people ever. But I don't see it happening.
No, but I think it's hard to make some of those life changes. And
oh, it is for sure.
And honestly, if you have to go buy some new gizmo or some new toy every 3 months to keep yourself motivated,
well, that's
then fucking go for it. Okay.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. So I believe their Fitbit wish will go away. That will be that'll be the fad.
You think it'll die?
That'll be the fad of 2016. Yes, that'll be the Pac-Man of this year.
Okay.
Everybody
Maybe.
Got one
I don't
for
know.
Christmas.
There'll be something new.
Did you know of anybody who didn't get something like that for Christmas in any family?
I don't know of anybody who did.
Oh gosh, I know everybody that did.
My family just doesn't care.
Everybody you see is walking around with one of these Fitbits on. They're all over the place.
I have had one a year ago.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And now you don't.
Now I don't.
So that's what I'm
wore it out. I washed it in my pocket too many times. Mm-hmm. And it died. I killed my Fitbit. I had one of the little pocket ones. Actually, I had two. I washed both of them until they quit working.
Well.
They need to make a waterproof one.
Well, at least they're clean.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Celebrity emojis.
I didn't know there was celebrity emojis.
I didn't know there was a celebrity emoji.
Well, I definitely want that to go away. I don't want these celebrities in my emoji thing.
No kidding.
All I want is simple shit.
And the last one, over-the-top engagement photos. I've got to read this one. This is great. If it seems like your Facebook news feed is littered with cutesy, over-the-top engagement photos, you're not alone. Happy couples everywhere are taking elaborately staged portraits, not so much for their personal photo albums as for the express purpose of sharing on social media. Like so many trends, this has turned into a contest of social media one-upmanship as couples attempt to outdo each other with increasingly ridiculous, saccharine, or just plain awkward photos.
God.
Yeah, we didn't do that.
Again,
we're just so weird.
It's just trying to outdo everybody. Look at me, 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 me. I swear. At some point, do you think people someday realize that nobody gives a shit about them?
No.
Till the day they die, most people don't realize that, do they?
I don't think they, yeah. And I think.
Let me tell everybody out there that might be listening to the show.
Okay.
Let me break some news to you all. Just in case you don't know this, besides possibly one, maybe two people in your whole life, besides those two people, nobody gives a fuck what you say. They don't give a fuck what you think, and they don't give a fuck what you look like.
As long as you don't do anything to interfere with their life, no. Mm-mm.
That's right. They don't. They don't care anything. So once you realize that, your life will be a lot easier. You'll stop trying to convince people of stuff. You'll listen a lot more instead of talking because you know they really don't want to fucking hear you. It's true. As much.
That sounds a little bit sad and dramatic.
Well, it's
no,
true.
All right. I'm going to paraphrase Hank.
Even our show. Good. Thank you all for listening, but I know you guys, you know, most people.
You're laughing at us, not with us.
Yeah. We record our show and God love you for listening. But at the end of the day, you know,
hear ourselves.
Yeah, I don't have any illusion about this. Y'all don't give a fuck what we say. You're going to go about your life, do your own thing. It's fantastic.
I think most people are so self-conscious and so concerned with their own shit. What's going on in their head.
That's right.
Today, and they're worried about what they look like. They don't care what you look like unless you're wearing a fucking clown suit to work.
You're not getting noticed.
They don't care.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nope.
And I mean, and women, I think, are more in tune with some of that stuff. And we'll notice things like shoes and nails and things like that almost, but we're just comparing ourselves to each other. It's just like, mine are better, or I need to step this up. It's not really
it may be a passing, some little minor, but I'm just saying deep down inside, nobody cares.
Yeah. They're more worried about themselves.
Right. And I've read that in a book as an example of exactly what you said to make that point. Like, just imagine yourself going through your day, you know, you're self-absorbed, you're taking selfies, you're doing your thing, you're driving your car, you're listening to your radio, you're doing your work. You interact with people, but you're basically doing your thing. That's what they're doing. They're doing their thing. And once in a while, you bump into each other, and there's some interaction. But really, everybody is just have their own agenda, their own objectives, and they're going for that.
Yeah.
You're just you may interact with them and be a part of them on their way.
You're a minor character in their video game.
Very minor. You're the frogs chirping in the background of your torchlight game. You're just so minor that, I promise, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
So with our show, we have no disillusions. If you get a little chuckle from us.
Awesome.
Fantastic. You're not going to get any life-changing
wisdom from Hillbilly Nerd Talk.
Right. No. We're not going to change anybody's mind, your religious beliefs, your any of that stuff, your politics, nothing. We're not going to change any of that. Just laugh at us a little bit. Have a good time.
You're really waxing philosophical tonight. Sorry.
Maybe I am.
I'm getting all cracked up. Like, you're being serious and I'm laughing.
I'm kind of smiling. I don't mean to be too serious. That's just the way it is, Petra. It's great.
Oh.
I have no problem with it at all.
Well, I'm pretty happy with this show. I think it turned out pretty well.
That was a good article. Spurred some good conversation there.
It went all over the place. I thought that would.
It did. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find us now that our website's working?
Our website is back up. Thank you, Hank. It's hillbillynerdtalk.com.
Yes. And thank also Becky Crockett. She does our IT stuff at podcastdesigns.com.
Thank you, Becky.
She designed our website, too. So if you think it's creative, which I really do think it's a pretty creative website, if I do say so myself, she helps keep it up. That's what she does, is design.
She's awesome.
Unique website. She does a great job. So thanks, Becky.
And from our website, hillbillynerdtalk.com, you can find our Twitter, our Facebook, and our Pinterest.
And there you go. Interact with us.
Yeah. Let us know what you're thinking.
Have some fun if you're bored along your day, along your daily route.
And thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk next week.